Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy mackinaw, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake Damore, and welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports podcast, featuring interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more, presented by Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC. Going strong for over 5 years now, episodes every Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere podcasts are found. Be sure to give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Be sure to give us a subscribe on the Wind City Sports YouTube channel and a follow, like, on whatever social media you might use at WindCity_sports. Very easy to find nowadays, again, after 5 years going strong on the podcast and formerly on the radio of CJAM, WINCITY, all one word. And today on the Wind City Sports Podcast is episode 232 of Wind City Sports. It is November 8th, 2021. And we're back with another interview and a lot to talk about our Windsor Spitfires, Windsor Lancers, and St. Clair Fratman football team completing a perfect season earlier this weekend on Saturday. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Get you caught up with our Spitfires and talk a little bit about a lot of sports returning for the Windsor Lancers and St. Clair College Saints. But of course, this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast, quickly talk about our guests that will be coming up very soon as well. We have a former professional boxer, two-time Olympian from Windsor, born in England, but you know, raised in Canada, raised in the Windsor area. He's now out in Toronto, doing keeping himself in the game, the sport that he loves, boxing. He's coaching many different places over there, and involved in media as well, doing a podcast of his own, breaking down fights. It's Andrew Singh Cooner, our guest this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're throwing it back to the 2000 and 2002 Olympics to talk about his runs there in the games in Sydney, Australia, in Greece, Athens. Again, as we talk about with Andrew, being a big boxing fan, of course, as a boxer, going back to Athens and Greece, where it kind of all started for the Olympics and for boxing and stuff like that. A lot of, roots and heritage right out of there. Gets to go back and fight and compete for his country, represent his heritage as well, and the people of Windsor, as you'll hear in the interview, of course. Thanks again to Andrew for taking the time to do it. Busy guy between a lot of the boxing gyms he's got going on, and as well as his own podcast. As I know, finding time to do these things sometimes can be difficult. So again, thanks to Andrew for taking the time to do it. And we're going to get into his interview in a little bit. But again, we're going to get you caught up with some Windsor sports. And as I briefly mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you listen regularly, you know that you always record on Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. So that being said, yesterday, Saturday, final regular season game for the St. Clair Fratman football team, formerly the AKO Fratman. We can now officially say that our St. Clair Fratman football team has went undefeated in 2021. Officially going 8-0 after their Saturday afternoon win against the Hamilton Hurricanes with a final score of 49-14. As talked about before, again, this is an undefeated team, but it's not like these games are close. They are absolutely blowing these teams out of the water. The closest game they had was with the London Beefeaters, a 29-22 win at the beginning of the season. Aside from that, you look at the scores, and the next closest win or game, 51-28. They are just absolutely crushing it. The best team in the Ontario division, of course. And now they're going on to the semifinal playoff. It's going to take place next Saturday against the Quinte Skyhawks. Where the heck is that? Just looking them up here. I guess they're out of Belleville. So now that the regular season is over, they start to move in. They won their division. They're going to start playing teams that they haven't played yet this year, yet alone 2 years at least, given the pandemic. But from here, of course, single elimination. If they lose, they're done. Winner goes on, do or die situation. If they win that game, they'll go on to the OFC final, which will be the following weekend, November 20th. If they win that, they go on to the Canadian Bowl on December 4th. Obviously, the, you know, national championship for junior football. So yet again, another successful year for the St. Clair Fratmen, you know, formerly the AKO Fratmen football team, a powerhouse for many years, coming through a little bit of adversity given the situation that took place a couple weeks ago. I talked about it before, but, you know, I'm no expert when it comes to any sport, yet alone football, but a toe-to-so. I think I said that before, though. I had predicted that, you know, the little mishap that they experienced wasn't really going to derail them on their success and in their run right now. Absolutely killing it, continue to kill it, and, you know, show it. 8-0. Now it's going to be a different challenge. Now this is a totally different game that we've seen in the past. We've seen them run over their division, their competition, time and time again, and then, you know, get to the finals and be unsuccessful. This will be, if they make it to the final, I think, you know, the fourth or fifth year in a row that they, more than that, that they've made it to the final, but not always successful. So now we're going to be facing some better competition, some stronger teams from different areas too, right? So again, we're going to be bringing in a totally new, it's like a whole new season, you know, it's the playoffs, but it's a little bit different than a lot of the other leagues and sports that we know. As mentioned, you know, you're playing the same teams throughout the season, and then the playoffs, it's still a different time. It's still where it really matters. It's still like a whole new season, even if you're playing the same teams. But for them, now they're faced with new challenges that they've never met before. So, you know, of course, you know your opponents, you know, games when you play them twice a year, but never play this team, it's going to be a little different. So, and speaking of which, also the Essex Ravens are off to the final as well. The Ravens beat Peel 59-0 to advance to the final of the Varsity Ontario Fall Cup last Friday night. With three different divisions going on, the Fall Cup finals are going to take place over the weekend of November 20th and 21st. Waiting for some more information on when this game will be going down. It's looking like it'll be the 20th at 7 p.m. So stay tuned for more football news as, you know, the St. Clair Fratmen roll in the playoffs, as well as the Essex Ravens varsity team rolling into the finals of this Ontario Fall Cup. In just a minute here, we're going to get into our interview for this week on Wind City Sports with Andrew Singh Cooner, former pro and Olympic boxer, now coach out in Toronto. But we're also going to talk about our Windsor Spitfires and Lancers, all sorts of sports with the Lancers and St. Clair Saints coming up later. Spitfires most recently won their home game on Saturday night. Good Saturday night game over at the WFCU, where I guess the crowd was rocking and rolling. So we're going to get into that following our interview this week on Wind City Sports. But before we get into that, I got to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. I've dealt with them before, and they provide top quality service to everyone who walks through the door, and they love to do it too. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. Maybe time for a new electric car. But anyway, now it's time to roll into our interview this week with, again, former boxer, pro boxer, Olympic boxer, lots of good stories coming up, with Andrew Singh Cooner. Here we go.
So I'm now joined by a man, although born in England, he is a Canadian boxer and trainer living in the GTA, Toronto area. He moved to the Windsor area as a young man and began boxing, went on to be a two-time Olympian in 2000 and 2004, and still involved, of course, in the game, boxing in the GTA, coaching in the GTA. Andrew Cooner, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Andrew Singh Cooner, because I'm a Sikh, that's first and foremost Canadian, Sikh heritage, Indian, and that's a really proud portion of my life that I've always carried with me of who I am. Like I'm a Sikh, and that's something that I've always been proud of.
Yeah, that's absolutely, man. You got to be, you know, true to your roots and proud of your heritage and, man, a big background for yourself. So we'll start from the beginning. We'll talk about some of that stuff as well. But, you know, tell me a bit about growing up, you know. So I'm sure, like, when you first came to Canada, like, you were probably, like, how old, 13 or so, I think I read, and probably a little.
No, when I first came to Canada, I was only, like, three or four, from born in England. And then my parents decided to move to Canada, and then we immigrated to Windsor right away. And Windsor is where I grew up. I was raised, and Windsor is where I learned how to fight, learned how to box. And Windsor is my heart, even though Toronto is my home. Windsor is always my heart.
Yeah, I guess that's where you're from. So I guess, you know, the earliest memories are from here. Probably not a lot of memories from back in England, eh?
Oh no, not really, no memories of England. Although when I was promoted as a professional, I was co-promoted by a guy from England, Mick Hennessy, at Hennessy Sports. So I was based out of Montreal, and that was where I was based out of. But and Montreal's the mecca for boxing in Canada for sure, but one of the biggest in the world as well. But I would have some of my fights in England because I was co-promoted by a guy from England. So I always had that connection with England. And then, you know, obviously fighting there as an amateur a bunch of times, and especially the one time in the 2002 Commonwealth Games were in Manchester, England. And I won a silver medal, which should have been a goal. And to this day, I finally started to get over that I was, but anyways, what happened there was a promoter, one of the promoters, Mick Hennessy, he was sitting by my cousins and they were in the stands. It was sold out, Man Arena in Manchester, a lot of people, crazy atmosphere, right? And then Mick Hennessy's like, make sure he gives me a call when you get back to Canada. So then, I gave him the call, and then it went from there.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, you got to travel the world and box in different countries, different continents, and stuff. Something that we're definitely going to talk about. It had to have been cool for you, like just to travel. And again, they're probably promoting you as an England born when you're over there, right? So that's where that comes in, right?
For sure. Actually, that is funny that we're talking about this England born and stuff, because actually, I was with Lennox Lewis yesterday at this is the gym Red Owl Boxing. It's a new gym, and this is gonna be a takeover in boxing. We're trying to do massive things with the sport of boxing. And I'm at the Brampton location, and I'm the head coach and the manager of operations there. But Lennox was there yesterday because Lennox lives in Brampton as well too, and you know we were talking a little bit about that because Lennox as well too, born in England but learned how to fight and all that, won a gold medal here in Canada, and then went back to England to fight professional. And so we had, I mean, I didn't win a gold medal and win a world championship like he did, but we had similarities like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean. Small world, right? To think like Lennox Lewis has fought, like done the same kind of path as yourself, and obviously doing big things if he's stopping it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, how did you first ever get involved in boxing? Like, was it something that you were interested in, or how did it go down?
So it's funny how I got into boxing because I was such a athletic person. I was doing a lot of. I was in karate with Lamont Kersey. Kersey's karate. Lamont, shout out to him. He's just a great figure in the Windsor scene, and always has been. Just a great person, a great family. So I used to do karate. I played soccer, played ice hockey, and then my mom one day comes home and she's like, "You're going to the? I'm taking the boxing." You're going to the boxing gym, because one of her co-workers, she's a supervisor at daycare ABC Day Nursery on Hannah. Another shout out to ABC Day Nursery on Hannah. And ABC Day Nurseries in Windsor are you know, there's three locations, great daycare. She's like, one of her coworkers was at that time going out with a boxing coach. So my mom and her were talking, and she's like, oh, I'd love to put Andrew in there because he needs it. He's got a lot of energy. At the time, being a smaller guy, being a minority, the problems that you face with, you know, racism and things like that. And, you know, so in order to defend myself, and I was doing karate and stuff, but I feel boxing is above all the other sports. So I went to the boxing gym and met my coach, who ended up being my coach, Bill Grant. And it just went from there. The first day I went to the boxing gym, I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. I wanted it all. It was the only thing you should have seen when I was a kid. I was a huge boxing fan when I started getting into it. My room, like, you know how when you're a kid, kids have posters of like singers and stuff. Yeah. And I was all boxing everywhere, posters of all the box, just to get all the ringside magazines, all that stuff. I was so involved in the box. I quit all the other sports that I was doing because boxing is the only thing that I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you say you believe, you know, boxing's above a lot of those other combat sports. Is that something that you always thought, or is that something that you realized?
I just think, like, I mean, for me, some other people have their own opinions and stuff, but for me, I feel boxing because what it does for you. Like, for example, boxing has so many benefits of it. And I'm not just talking about in the ring, fighting, trying, winning gold medal, winning world champ, make a whole bunch of money, that stuff, but also for other special populations. Like, one program I do, and I have this cup here, it's Rock Steady Boxing. I know there's a program in Windsor too, Border City Boxing Club. They run a program as well. But, you know, that for boxing helps people with Parkinson's. It slows the progression of the disease. In that sense, it's so beneficial for other populations like autistic children, special needs kids. Boxing is shown, and there's so many studies of the astronomical benefits of it for those special populations. And it's just great, youth at risk. Kids that are having issues, problems, whatever, bullying is a big thing nowadays. So, you know, some people have the misconception that boxing is just a sport. It's just like fighting. It's like a Rocky movie, but it's not. It's way more than that. You learn when I started boxing, I was a bad kid. I was, getting into trouble, getting into fights. People call me names and I'll fight them. But when I started boxing, all that subsided. I became, the confidence. I had more confidence about myself. I used to walk with my head down. Now my head's up. The self-esteem improved. There's just everything improved about me.
Yeah. Yeah, like you're saying, like, it's not really the punching that is the benefit. It's all the other things that come with it, the values, all the things you learn, and whether it be, mental or physical. I always say, it's kind of the central training module, boxing for me, because, any athlete, you'll see tons of athletes in their training. You'll see any type of person in their training. All you need is maybe a pair of gloves and you can go at it, right? So one of the oldest things too.
Exactly, and it's one of the first Olympic sports back in the Athens in Greece, the first Olympians boxing, but also too, yeah, it's known as a poor man's sport because all you need is a pair of gloves, wraps, and just a determination and stuff like that. It's not like hockey; you're paying thousands of dollars to get the ice time, buy all the equipment, things like that. It's not like that. That's why it's a worldwide sport all over the world. Boxing is probably, boxing and soccer, they're probably the most popular of sports around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And the stories that come out of boxing, like you said, it's kind of a lot of those rags to riches stories, and you know,
exactly,
they come from maybe a bad neighborhood, but the boxing club in their neighborhood kept them out of trouble and got them to where they are now. So those exactly. are always good stories that I love to hear about.
Yeah, those are great stories, and the most recent one, because he just retired, is Manny Pacquiao. He's 42 years old. Look what he did. And we're talking about a true rags to riches story that we got to see unfold in front of Rise. This guy came from absolutely nothing, dirt poverty in Asia, in the Philippines, to make it to the top of the boxing world and to be revered as probably one of the greatest fighters ever. That, my opinion, is the greatest fighter that in boxing, the greatest fighter that we've ever seen.
It almost could have never been, you know.
Could have never been.
Yeah.
But he had that desire. He had that determination. You know, some people may, I have this life and it's hard, and you know, I'm just gonna try to truck through, push through. Some people like, you know what? I'm gonna get out of this situation. I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna make my family better. I'm gonna make everyone around me better financially and everything. And that's what he did. He went to Manila, the capital, to go fight when he was like, I think it was like 13. He weighed like, he was too light. He put weights in his underwear so he'd be heavy enough to fight. And then the story began from there, right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the things you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you need to be, right? But again, kind of talking about that kind of stuff for yourself, you get involved in boxing, you start training, you know, you probably start sparring in the gym, and you loved it, you know. So is that, was that like, okay, I can start fighting now? Like, where you presented that and you were like, okay, or was that a thing that you wanted to do? Did you want to start competing, or how'd that go?
So the way it went at the beginning, so I used to training at Border City Boxing, and then I had to give also a shout out to Charlie Stewart too, because he definitely is, level 5 coach, and he's been to the Olympics. He's a great coach. He's a great person, and he was my coach for a little bit of time as well too. He helped me through some periods, and actually at the beginning, when Bill Grant was my first coach, Charlie came on board as well. And the way it went there, I was the smallest guy in the gym, and I'd always have to go with bigger guys, and I would get beat up. Like, I would cry, bloody nose. But the thing is, that I came back every day. I didn't quit. Like, I was just that one day get beat up, crying in the corner. And Bill, my coach, is trying to hide me so no one sees me crying. And the next day I'm there, first one there at the gym again. And the next day, knowing that right now maybe these guys are going to get the better of me and stuff, but soon it'll be my time and I'll be the guy. And that's what your mentality needs to be that way.
That's what it takes, you know, to kind of be successful in anything, right? You know, there's going to be ups and downs, and when you're down, you don't quit, right? You keep coming back, just like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Because
yeah.
It's easy to quit, right? It's easy to just say, oh, forget it. You know, I'm just going to go get an ice cream and whatever.
Yeah. It's not easy to keep pushing and keep coming back and literally fighting, right?
But then the reward is so great, right? That it had you done that, you never would have seen what's at the end of the rainbow, per se.
Yeah, man. And that's like, it's kind of true to your story too. Like, you know, you kind of get involved in boxing, and through all that, while that's happening, you start fighting amateur, and then by 1998, went in Commonwealth Games, and you know, it's probably a short period of time.
Yeah, it was. And like, just at the beginning when I first started, like, I was because the guys that I was sparring with and training, I was the smallest guy. I was saying, and I was always getting beat up. But when it was time to go in with some of my own weight, it was literally like I just walked right through them. I remember my first tournament was in Brampton at the Brampton Cup, and I just two knockouts, and it's very rare that you get knockouts in amateur boxing. And I was just plowing through guys. So my conditioning was always great. I was always run, and that's a lot of push from my dad. Like, not too many athletes get that push, and they don't have that parental involvement. But I was so lucky that I had my dad there all the time. Right from the beginning, he was there every day. He would watch me, make sure I was running, make sure I was doing this. When I was going through my teenage years, you know, we're teenagers and we think we know everything. And like, you're just like, oh man, why is he here all the time? Why is he here? And now that I live in Toronto and stuff, and my dad's not, he's in Windsor, I'm like, you know, how lucky was I to have that? To have that push and to have that involvement. Very lucky. And that's the main reason why I got to the level I got to, is because of my dad.
Yeah. I mean, having any of that kind of support is very vital, especially coming from your family, you know, it's true love. And, you know, some success early on, like you mentioned, first tournament, probably seeing some success, and things probably started rolling for you fast, because, you know, sometimes in the 90s, you start training. By the end of the decade, you're on your way to the Olympics. Like,
people don't really know my career that much because social media and stuff wasn't there and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
And nor do I really talk about it that much. Okay. But because I'm on a podcast with you talking about this, I'm going to tell you, when I was at 13 years old, I won a Canadian championship at 13 with only 7 fights. And then I went on an undefeated run for, I was 10-0. Then I fought a guy in Marquette, Michigan, for the U.S. champion. And he beat me, and it was very controversial, but lost fight. But then I went on another run, and for like, maybe like 2-3 years, I was undefeated, and I went to the world championships, under 19 world championships in Cuba, in Havana, Cuba. And the year before I went to Cuba for a training camp to spar, to learn from the Cubans, because the Cubans at that time were the best amateurs of all time. They're still really good. They're just, a lot of the world has caught up to them. They're not as dominant. But I fought the guy that I was sparring in the finals the year later in Havana, and I won a silver medal in the finals. I got, you know, it was another close fight, but then again, then I won a European title championship before that, then went to the world. So at a young age, I was doing a lot. Like, had social media been around then, you know, people would have known, like, how much I was doing at that time.
Yeah, that's the thing when doing research for these types of interviews, depending on where the stuff happens, sometimes it's hard to find information. Why I asked you before, right? To confirm something. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, just a lot. So, like, it's weird when you're young, too. I always talk to people, and they, you know, go back to, like, their junior hockey days, or, you know, your amateur boxing days. You're just a kid, too. All this is going on at once. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know you as a pro, and we'll get to that. But before you're even pro, you're an Olympic athlete. So that first Olympics in Sydney, I think you went 1-1 there, silver medal or something.
No, like yeah, I just I won my first fight against Algeria, and then the second fight I fought Thailand, and I'm like, it's funny. I can remember everything about boxing, but if you ask me other stuff, I don't really remember that much. Like, what my wife's like, you remember everything about boxing, but you can't remember this. that's the way it is. But with the Sydney Olympics, you know, that being my first Olympic Games, and I was the first one from Windsor to go to the Olympics in boxing. The first Punjabi to the first Sikh to represent Canada in an individual sport. And I won my first fight against Algeria. Then my second fight was against Thailand, Weejin Pomlin, and he won the gold medal, but he beat me 11-7. It was a close fight, but that's the closest fight he had in the tournament. The thing is, all the other, his other fights, he beat easily. And the thing in boxing, there's no seeding. You can fight, there's no seeds. You can fight anybody. The number one, number two can fight right away. The best guys, you don't know who you're going to fight. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's so cool, man. So stuff to be proud of. Again, the first of many guy from Windsor, Canadian guy representing your heritage too. I mean, something to be proud of for sure. Right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, those are memories that I'll always have with me. I got them tatted on my arm there, Athens, Sydney. Yeah. And then look, and Ambassador Bridge, you know, I always remember, and Windsor always.
That's cool, man. It's cool to see. I mean, it had to have been cool for you. We'll get to the 2002 Olympics in a minute too. As a big boxing fan, to go to Athens and to fight there, and even before that, some more Commonwealth games. So after 2000, just continued what you were doing, seeing the potential, and decided to keep going forward, or.
That's it. I mean, like I was determined. I was on a mission. I was, after the first Olympics, I could have turned pro, and I had some offers and stuff, but I was like, I want to stick around for another Olympics. And that, you know, then I went to the Commonwealth Games in 98, got a bronze there, and then went to the Olympics, then went to another Commonwealth Games in 2002. And, you know, got that silver. And then, but I could have went pro even then with the offers and stuff that I got from this one. But I didn't want to. I wanted to wait for the Olympics again, because I really felt, and I really believed, and sort of many others, that I was gold medal potential there. But, you know, just like, we know with Olympic boxing, one of the most political and corrupt of all sports in the Olympics. It's already pretty much there. If you're fighting one of the better countries in boxing, it's already predetermined. Like, you know, the Russians, the Cubans, the Kazakhstan, and you're from Canada and you're going against a guy from Uzbekistan. That's who I fought. Uzbekistan is one of the top countries as well, a Russian, former Russian country. I got a bye in the first round, beat Venezuela easily in the second fight, and the third fight was a quarterfinal fight, guaranteed bronze medal for the winner. And right away, if you look at the video, right away, even the commentator, Ross Sammer, was saying, oh, Kooner hit him, and a point comes up for Sultano. That was his name. And Kooner hit, and he gets a point. Where did he get that point from? He's getting points and points, and then he's got a lead, and then I got to change my whole game plan, and I've got to go after him, and that's his game. And whatever, things happen the way they're supposed to happen.
Yeah.
The experience was great anyways,
yeah,
regardless. But I feel that I should have been on the medal podium for sure at either Olympics.
Yeah, well, what people don't realize that it's more than just punching, right? Like, there's more of a game to this sport than what meets the eye, you know.
So, like, it's not Rocky. It's not a Rocky movie. It's a sweet science. It's methodical. Everything's calculated. It's not just you go in the ring and you try to beat the guy up. The defense is the name of the game. You know, the sweet science. That's what is referred to boxing.
Yeah,
sweet science.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And so we kind of went through the 2004 Olympics there, and you went pro in 2006, right?
Yeah. Then I after the 2004 Olympics, I needed a break from boxing, and I took a year off, and I didn't do anything. Which I kind of now look back at, I'm like, you have plenty of rest when you're done. You know, you only have a window in professional sports and when you're in your prime and your years, but so every year is important.
Yeah.
You know, I turned pro 26. I just turned 26 when I had my first pro fight. And to be honest, my pro career, it wasn't as great as my amateur career. My amateur career, I was one of the best in my weight class. But in the professional game, it was different. I mean, I jumped out of the gates, and then, you know, my first fight was a first round knockout, and I'm like, wow, this is pro boxing, easy. Then I got a reality call the next fight, real quick, that you know, every second of the fight, you have to be focused. One shot can end it. Can end everything, you know. And I was 4-0 when I went to England for my first fight, and I lost a fight there. They switched my opponent last minute. They bring this Mongolian guy's southpaw. I get hit with a headbutt. Never been cut before. Split right there. Blood's coming in my eye. I get hit with a shot. Go down. Come back up, and they stop the fight right away. Right away. They didn't even give me an eight count. England is like that, right? So, but anyways, I did like the pro career wasn't like the amateur career.
Yeah,
it's a different sport. It's different. Pro boxing and amateur boxing is different. We're talking about apples and oranges.
Yeah.
There's just because you're a great professional amateur fighter, it doesn't mean it won't translate into being. And not only that, you have to be 100% focused, and your only thing and your only mentality should be on boxing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And no distractions, no nothing. You give it 110% for as much as time you have in pro boxing, and then get out with all your faculties, hopefully, and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you talked about, you know, your decision to stay amateur back in 2000, you know, you could have went pro. Decided to stay and, you know, pursue the Olympics, but
mm-hmm.
it's crazy that all that happens. Cause you kind of talk about that decision and the pro career after. It's crazy that all that happens before you go pro, you know, like if you were to look at like God knows whose history, it's like, you know, they make their way up in amateur and then boom, all this stuff starts to happen for them in pro. But for you, it was before all that, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. Like, A lot of the time now, the way it goes, you're going to get better contracts. You're going to get better opportunities if you have some accolades with you. Like you've gone to the Olympics. You have this behind you as and that promoters look at that. That's, but it doesn't always translate. Look at Arturo Gatti, for example. He didn't do much as an amateur, but he was one of He was a great professional. Rest in peace, Arturo Gatti.
Yeah.
There's some of them, Mark Breland, one of the best amateur boxers of all, probably the best of all time. But in the pros, he won a world title, but he didn't become that dominant as he was in amateur boxing.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a different time too in the whole sport and in the world, you know, when you were coming up into pro. And although, you know, you seems like you still had a good run. Like, started off 4-0, you ended up retiring on top with some championship wins too, right?
Yeah, it was okay. It was a respectable career. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, the days, like, in your mind, like, again, you remember everything about boxing, which is great for this.
You know? Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's great to document this stuff, you know, and it's great that a lot of the stuff happened while you were kind of a Windsor guy, you know, of course, a Canadian guy being in Montreal, mm-hmm. Toronto, and representing the country through the sport, man. It's cool stuff.
Yeah. 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 That was always really important for me. It was always important to represent Canada to the best of my ability and to represent my Sikh heritage mm-hmm. and, you know, represent my gym and the people of Windsor.
Cool.
They were always really supportive of me, and I'll never forget that I always really appreciated that. I remember when I fought my first Olympics in Sydney, and I called my mom because we always talked, and I called her and I'm like, Mom, yeah, I'm fighting in a couple of days against Algeria. And she's like, oh, Andrew, everyone's calling, your old teachers, everybody, they're all so happy, and they're all, we saw you at the opening ceremonies and stuff like that. And I just teared up and couldn't even talk, man.
Yeah, no, it's prideful, you know, when you get these, like, you know, you don't even need to be handed a trophy to get that kind of feeling, right? It's just everyone remembering you and supporting you, you know?
Yeah. That's what it's all about, honestly. There's no better feeling than that, you know, to get that from other people, to know that your whole city is behind you, to know that your whole country is behind you, and to know, you know, to have that push and support, and no matter what happens, they're always going to be there. Yeah. And you try to represent the best you can, the best of your ability.
Yeah, man, that's awesome stuff. And through all of it, you know, you pretty much travel Canada just training and fighting and stuff like that, and also the world, like we kind of talked about before, and you mentioned, man, Cuba, Greece, Australia. Yeah. How do you know people, like, through the sport?
I'm very, very fortunate, and I'm always appreciative of having those experiences at a young age, because, you know, a lot of people don't get that opportunity to go travel the world and see different places and see different cultures and see how people live it. I mean, when I was going to different tournaments, and, you know, I remember my first trip to Asia and in the Philippines for a tournament. We just went around, we're walking around, and we're just seeing how people live. And we're just like, you know, it opened your eyes. Like, wow, like, this is not what we have. What we have, a great back home, and look at it compared to how people live in other countries like the Philippines, Asia, and stuff. So it makes you more appreciative of what you have. And you know, you respect that a lot more, and you have a lot more respect.
Absolutely, man. Those are the things I like to do when I travel too. You know, you can do all the touristy events and stuff like that, but I really like to just get into like a community and see how people live their lives, no matter where it is. You know, that's what's interesting to me. And again, yeah, like you say, you reflect and, you know, you realize what you have.
Yeah, definitely. I like doing that as well. Meeting, going and interacting with other people, and, you know, hi, we're all humanitarians at the end of the day, man. We're all humans.
Yeah, everyone's the same. I mean,
that's it. That's cool. Yeah.
And, you know, you're still involved in the game, obviously, a love for the sport. You mentioned Red Owl and Rocksteady earlier. So it seems like, you know, this is it for you. Boxing is your life. It's your 9-to-5, unless you're involved in anything else, you know?
No. I couldn't be. I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I love and be involved in the sport of boxing. And, you know, to make a living through it. I'm very fortunate. I always say that, like, you know, I don't have to get up in the morning, make my lunch, know that I have to go to a job that I don't really like, and I just, because I need the paycheck and this and that. I'm in a very fortunate place. I mean, I've worked my whole life to get to this point where I'm able to use the sport of boxing that I've given so much to use it to help other people, to, you know, make a career and a living out of, you know, whether it be coming on podcasts, doing my own podcast. It's called Doc and the Boxer. My podcast I do with a doctor friend of mine. He's a big boxing fan. So if you guys get a chance, check out Doc and the Boxer. So yeah, I'm very, very fortunate. And I there's not one day that I don't pray about it every night.
That's fantastic stuff, man. I was going to bring up the podcast too. Obviously, when it comes to sports, any sport, a lot of other things come with it. You know, you're training, you're operating the gym, and there's sometimes media stuff that comes up. You know, you've probably done enough interviews to be able to talk and, you know, break down fights and stuff, which is kind of like what you guys do on the show, right?
Yeah, that's what we do, Zach. We talk about the fights, but just like what you're saying, Drake, when when I was first getting interviewed, I had my first interview because I got a lot of my tapes put on a hard drive. So they a while ago, I was watching them all, and so I'm like, wow, I remember this. Yeah. But I remember my first interview, and I think it was with Windsor CBC and Tony Doucette. Do you remember him? Tony Doucette, yeah. CBC. I was just, my head was down, and I was like, you know, just barely looking into the camera. And then you see the progression to you know, how it is nowadays. From a lot more comfortable with all that, but it's just experience.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. And through all that, I figured we'd be able to shoot the shit and have a good conversation about, you know, and I'm glad that you remember a lot of it too. You know, sometimes it can be tough to recollect some stuff.
Of course. And then everything is in the memory bank, of course. And, you know, I'm appreciative that you had me on, and I'm, you know, I was pretty excited about this because I love talking about the city that taught me how to box and got me to where I am now.
Yeah, so, I think those are the things that make me feel good when you talk about, you know, your teachers remembering and stuff. When a lot of people say, once I see Win City or, you know, a Windsor podcast, I'm like, yeah. Sure. That's what's like, okay, this is the kind of people we want on the show. So
for sure.
I hate to wrap it up, man. We could talk all day. Dude, thank you so much for taking
the time. Okay, of course. Thanks for having me on. And right. Anytime.
Yeah, we'll have to do another one, man, because excited to talk forever.
Yeah.
Huge thanks to Andrew Cooner for coming on the Win City Sports Podcast and talk about his days competing amateur and pro in the Olympics and, you know, talking about Windsor and reminiscing about those good old days and you know, talking about being true to your roots, where the city you came from and stuff like that, what we always do on Win City Sports, and love to hear it, you know. Cool stuff from an amazing athlete, of course, to make it to the Olympics from Windsor. It's a huge, huge accomplishment. And now we have many, many in that category. But always good to hear his story. And again, something he said he doesn't usually talk about a lot. There are, you know, lots of people some people don't like to talk about themselves a lot. So for him to kind of let his hair down and do that for the Win City Sports Podcast and do it for Windsor, really appreciate, you know, just being able to do that, taking the time to do it, and gladly that he remembers everything too. Kind of talk about in the interview, of course, sometimes in boxing, you might lose a little bit of memories. So, and you might, like you said, you might forget, you know, what he had for lunch or whatever, but those times were so, you know, important to him and so huge in his life. Of course he remembers. And it's always great to document here on Win City Sports, which I think again was mentioned in the interview or maybe just after we stopped recording. It's just that's why I like doing them, is because, you know, we can put these on the internet and they'll always be there forever to document Windsor history. And again, as we began to wrap up, at perfect timing as the fire drill alarm started going off in his apartment, I did edit it a little bit, so that beeping you heard at the end, you know, I was just getting ready to wrap it up, and he's like, yeah, good timing, because this is going to be going on for a little bit. So again, it was kind of an abrupt ending to our chat last week with Andrew, but thank you so much for taking the time to do it, man, and to, you know, again, represent Windsor and you know, tell your story and get caught up with a guy who's, you know, been away from Windsor for a while now. Again, another reason why I like doing these interviews and this show is hopefully someone, you know, sees this and says, oh my god, whatever happened to him, I forgot about him, or I remember him. A lot of people, again, like, I'm telling people that I'm doing this, and a lot of people remember him from probably just being in the news when the Olympics were going on in 2000 and 2004. So again, really cool stuff to document here on the Win City Sports Podcast. Too bad we don't have a lot of boxing news to talk about, at least like for the Windsor realm here on the Win City Sports Podcast in this, you know, boxing kind of themed episode. Kyle Prepperlik is stepping back into the octagon though, professional MMA fighter. Of course, you know him from the UFC as well. Former guest on the show here. He's getting back to his pro ways and stepping into the octagon in Montreal pretty soon, I believe, next month. Better yet, not even next month. November 19th, the return of Kyle Prepperlik begins, as promoted by Reno Belcastro of MTC. They got a new location, too. They moved to Provincial Road. So, again, as we talked about before, TJ Laramie has dropped out of his fight for UFC. Random Marcos coming off a win recently. And Windsor's Randy Field actually fought for Bellator recently as well. At least in the last couple months, she signed a contract over the summer, I believe, for a multi-fight deal, going pro with Bellator. That was last month, and we'll see when her next fight might be. Unfortunately, suffering her first loss in her pro career at that Bellator event. But in other combat sports news, in the next couple weeks, we'll be talking some professional wrestling again. No Border City Wrestling shows as of now, but a lot of our local pro wrestlers are back at it. So we're looking to talk to Aiden Prince and El Reverso again soon here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. So the Spitfires, let's talk about it. Saturday night, they were trailing the Erie Otters 2-0 and ended up coming back, pushing the game to overtime and winning in overtime. Wyatt Johnson scoring the overtime winner and a beauty at that. Previously, goals from Will Cooley and Ryan Abraham back-to-back quickly tied the game up. In just 12 seconds, back-to-back goals, and sent the game to overtime for Johnson to be the hero Saturday night at home at the WFCU Center. So upcoming in their next couple of games, they will be in Sarnia this Friday, and then coming back home on Saturday to welcome the Sioux. Following that, they're going to get back to their regular Thursday night games, November 18th, welcoming the Erie Otters. So this week, no Thursday game. There will be another Saturday game after they come home from Sarnia to welcome in the Sioux, and then almost a week break as they wait until Thursday to play again here at the WFCU Center. I got to go to my first game of the year 2 weeks ago, last Thursday game, and it was great to be back. And I guess this game Saturday, as per equipment manager J.R. Grant, they were rocking and rolling. The crowd was hot, so glad to see that's back. And as of now, the Spitfires, with a record of 5-4-2, still sitting in sixth place of the Western Conference, very early in the season, of course. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure they'll be making playoffs, but how good they're going to be this year, it's pretty unpredictable still at this point in the season. But we'll keep it on the hockey portion of our local sports news this week here on Wind City Sports as we talk about Windsor Lancers Sports being back. The men's hockey team won their opener, their regular season opener, against Western, another good team, on Saturday night. 4-1 was the final, and their next game is actually going to be this Wednesday, taking on the Guelph Griffins at Old South Windsor Arena, the Capri Pizzeria Recreation Complex, at 7:30 p.m., The women lost to the Mustangs, or sorry, Brock, in their opener as well on Saturday. But now we got a lot of sports back. We got volleyball, basketball, hockey, and more. So some crazy highlights from the men's opener. A close game, 82-80 win over Guelph as it comes down to the final seconds as Thomas Kennedy leads the Lancers to victory. Some highlights from Power Play Sports Online. Again, the crowd there, great turnout for that home opener. The crowd was hot, and it's great to see. Great to see the support and things back is great, and to see the support from the Lancers, Lancers Nation is awesome as well. Be sure to check out GoLancers.ca for more information on games if you're looking to get back to some action. The women's basketball team is on the road in Waterloo this week. As mentioned, we have as well as the men's basketball team will be in Waterloo, but we have a men's hockey team game at home, and that's pretty much it for home games this week. But if you're looking to get to some games, Spitfires are back, Lancers are back, and let's see what we got going on for the St. Clair Saints athletics as well. Most recently, the men's soccer team followed up with fourth best in Ontario. They lost in the semifinals. Volleyball and basketball is back. Both the men's and women's volleyball teams for the St. Clair Saints will be out in Durham this week and then heading over to Mohawk. So a lot's going on that we'll keep you caught up with online. But before we wrap it up again, we're going to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. I've dealt with them before, and they provide top quality service to everyone who walks through the door, and they love to do it too. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. And also check out AmherstburgGM.com. But that's it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. Going to begin to wrap it up. We're here every Monday with a brand new episode of the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere podcasts are found. At WindCity_sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a like, follow, subscribe on whatever social media you might use. And as well on YouTube, the Wind City Sports YouTube channel. Dropping exclusive content, previews from our interviews, and you know, all sorts of local sports stuff. So anything you use, we should be on there, as well as Reddit. So you know, anything that you use, look us up. WINCITY is all one word. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram, @DrakeDeMore. But until next time, smell you later.